This is Doug Miller. Israel. What is the problem over there? Why are so many people so troubled by that little country? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with this Bible in hand, and we are looking at the book of Zechariah, and the more pointedly at the 8th chapter of Zechariah. We will finish up the 8th chapter today, I think, and go on into the 9th chapter. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Zechariah, and call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to this end, we require the assistance and the prayers and the support of the people of God. If you are out there and you are saved and you have any interest in seeing this word go out, please pray for Dialogue. Without the prayers of the people of God, this ministry can go nowhere. I can sit up here in front of this mic, I can talk, but it will be to no end and to no avail. There are enemies out there, unseen enemies, and some of them are seen, who would do anything to see the Word of God stopped and blocked and blunted and to put an end to everything that we're doing. And the only resource we have is prayer. And I mean it. I mean, you could call out the army and it wouldn't make any difference. Without prayer, nothing that I do can do anything, any good at all. So please, pray for Dialogue. And, of course, we would always like to hear from you. Our mailing address, if you would like to write, is P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. And if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you want to email, we can accommodate you on that. The email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And finally, we have a webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. We'll get you to the web page, and you can look at it and just have a real pleasant time there, I am sure. If you wish to call and talk to me, I would be happy to talk to you. Our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. So, and you'll get a recording, and I'll say leave your number, and I'll get back with you, and I will. And you may, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. That'd be fine. All right, I believe that does it for the preliminaries. Let's look at the Word of God. And we have here in the Word of God some, this is Zechariah now, talking to Israel. And please, I hope that no one has convinced you in any way, shape, form, or fashion that this has some application to the Gentiles. No, this is to Israel, and it is to the Jews. And if you say, and I say this several, I've said it several times on here, and I continue to say it, and will continue to say it, if you say, well, if it's to the Jews, it has no application to me. Oh, yes, it does. As a Gentile, if you are saved, you have every reason to wish to support and help the Jews, and you have every reason to keep your eyes on these prophecies because as they come to pass, as they begin to be fulfilled, as we see these things happening before our very eyes, then know that the end is at near, I mean at the very doors. And our Lord's coming for his people, the church, is very near at hand. Now we have here, and in order to get our context, when we were in here last time, we were looking at promises God gave to his people Israel about bringing them back and bringing them back to the land. And, of course, you can look over into the Middle East right now, and you can see that, in fact, the Jews have come back. Some of them have, anyway. And it's interesting to see what God used to get them back there. This movement that we see unfolding before our very eyes really began way back at the end of the 19th century with the rise of what is called Zionism. And at that time, there were a group of men, Gentiles, Christians, Bible-believing Christians, who were centered in, many of them were in England and Ireland, these so-called brethren, John Darby and those of his ilk, who were telling people that the Jews have to go back to Israel. They will go back to Israel. Well, not only were they not listened to by so many in the mainline churches, but they were absolutely ridiculed by many of them. Well, who got the last laugh on that one, friends? The Zionists, who were raised up among the Israel largely, these were Jews, began buying up land back in this really deserted area. There was nothing going on there. And for those, among in Islam and other places like that who say that the Jews came in there and kicked them out and displaced them, listen. That whole area over there it had gone to nothing. It was being held at that time by the Turks. It was a part of the Ottoman Empire, and they had absolutely left the land to go to nothing. And there were very few people there and vast stretches which were largely just unpopulated. And the Jews went in there and began buying up this land. And, of course, during World War I, the Ottoman Empire fell apart, and that area was conquered by Britain and France. They were a part of it. And the French took possession of Syria, and the British took possession of what is now Israel. And at that time, there were a trickle of people going back to Israel, Jews, under the so-called Balfour Declaration. And from the very beginning, those few Arabs that were there hated them, and there was war and there was trouble. Now, this hatred between the Jews and the Arabs, don't let anyone kid you about this. I've heard a lot of Arabs say, we have nothing against Jews, we hate Zionism. Oh, nonsense. They hate Jews. They are taught to hate Jews from the very, from the mother's knee almost. And I knew a guy, I was at the University of Regensburg in Germany, and this was a guy that I knew while I was over there, and this was his line. I have nothing against the Jews, he said, but I hate Zionism. Oh, please, if you look at the history of that country, go back and read this Bible. Read the book of Joshua. Read the books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Read the history of what's going on over there. And you will see very clearly, it's the same bunch of people who hate Israel now, who always hated them. They have been against them, and this is a spiritual thing, and it is right out of the pit. And it's not going to work. It has never worked. God has said what he's going to do. And if you are one of those who thinks that somehow we can bring peace over there just by getting Israel to give up portions of the land and you know, give it back to the Arabs and everyone will love everyone, I will pray for you. If you're that slow, if you don't get it, the Arabs, that the ones that are honest about it, will tell you. There's only one thing that they want, and that is the utter and absolute destruction of Israel. Iran has made it very clear, the destruction and the wiping out of Israel. You know, the various Palestinian factions over there, that's what they want. Well, they can think this all they want. It is not going to make any difference, because God has a plan, and God will carry out his plan, and we see it here. In Zechariah, let's pick it up here. Many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Now, the word Lord here is Yahweh, and many will come. And look at this last as we close out this eighth chapter of Zechariah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, friends, this is the word of God, and it is the truth. And if you are one of those who are disposed to believe that somehow, you know, the Arabs and the Christians and the Jews, we all worship the same God. We do not all worship the same God. Allah is not Yahweh Elohim. And the individuals, you'll notice here that these individuals out of these different languages and nations, 10 men coming out shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And when you look at this, it is thus saith Yahweh Elohim. And who is it that these people are laying hold on? An Arab? No. An Irishman? No, it's a Jew. We have heard that God is with you. Well, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, he said, salvation is of the Jews. And you, friends, can put that in the bank. This is what is going to happen. Let's go on into chapter 9 here. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man as of all the tribes of Israel shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also shall border thereby, Tyrus and Sidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as the dust, and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation, shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. Now this is very interesting. This is something that was fulfilled back in the days, really, that Zechariah wrote this. But once again, as so many of the things that Zechariah wrote, this looks far forward into the future. And if you look at these different cities that are mentioned here and the different places that are mentioned, this is so much of what is going on right now. So many of these peoples that are mentioned here, Tyre and Damascus and Gaza, and Ashkelon, and you look at these, and we have the Philistines here, we have the Palestinians here, and here they are coming up again, even as we speak. This is going on, and it is going on. And what does the Lord say about this? He is going to judge these nations. Now, of course, the judgment of God is going to fall on this world in general. We know that because we have the book of Revelation in hand, and we can tell very quickly what's going to happen here. But this judgment has fallen, and it will fall again. And let's pick it up in verse 6 now. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he shall be for our God. And he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Now, when you look at this, you can see once again very clearly who God is for and who he has sworn that he will protect. And it will be Jerusalem, and it will be Israel, and all of the nations that come against her shall be destroyed and judged. And where will they wind up? Well, it's kind of interesting here. We find out here that the ones that remain, that those that come through this judgment, shall be for our God, says Zechariah. And who is their God? It's Yahweh. And there are going to be many saved people in that day who are going to turn to the Lord. Now we have in verse 9 here a prophecy that was fulfilled a long time ago. A long time ago, back when the Lord rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And you might say, well, I mean, you're looking here far into the future to something that's you say is relevant today. Now we have this verse that goes way back to something that happened a long time ago. Well, let's read it and talk about it a little bit, see what we can come up with. Shout, O daughter, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now this, it's interesting that it should fall in this place, because here we have something that was fulfilled in 33 A.D., and here we have, and it's in here, in this place, and you might say, well, it's a little bit confusing, because look at the very next, let's just read the next verse here. He goes on, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Now, interesting, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came the first time to Jerusalem, he came lowly, didn't he? He came lowly riding a donkey. He came lowly into Jerusalem, and he was rejected, and he was indeed cut off. But he is coming back. He has gone away, but he is coming back. And when he comes back the second time, he will come back with power. And he will come back to save his people, Israel. And there is no doubt about it. It will be with power and great glory. He said so himself, didn't he? He told the high priest at his so-called trial that he would come back on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In fact, it was that caused the high priest to rend his garment and say, "You've heard the blasphemy for yourself. What do you say?" And, of course, they condemned him to death. Now, let's go on here and let's see what we have in verse 11. "As for these also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth my prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee, when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up the sons of Zion against the sons of Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. Now, this, of course, like so many of these Old Testament prophets, this looks at the time that Zechariah was writing. It looks at a time when our Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, and it looks far into the future toward an end time. We have in this prophecy, we have the sons of Israel fighting against the Greeks. And, you know, you look at it and you say, well, you know, when did Israel ever fight against the Greeks? Well, of course, the one time was when Alexander the Great came into that time, and the Israelites didn't do too well at that time, did they? He took that whole country over. And yet a time is coming when, if we allow the Greeks to represent the Gentile nations in general here, what do we have? We have the Gentiles coming against Israel, and Israel triumphing, Israel winning. Israel is the one that will come out on top in this final great battle that's going to be fought. And don't you forget it. All of the Gentile nations that come against Israel are going to be broken. They are going to be broken. And why? And this is the thing that that Israel does not seem to understand right now, for the bulk of them anyway. And it is that Messiah is the one who will rule and reign, and it is Messiah, and in his name and in his power, that they will be triumphant. Look at verse 14 here. The Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bulls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Now, what we have here is a promise of what is yet to come. At this point, Israel is beleaguered. It seems that there is no hope for them at all sometimes. But this is the truth of what is going to happen. The Lord is going to make them triumphant. And notice, as we just read this passage, it is the Lord that's going to do it. In one of the wars, I think it was the 1967 war, a newspaper reporter said to Moshe Dayan, well, it looks like that Yahweh your God has yet given you victory. And Moshe Dayan very angrily said, the Lord have nothing to do with this. We did it. I've got news for Dayan and anyone who thinks like him. The Lord will do it, and Israel will be the victor. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.